Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Book distribution has failed, some say. His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, is the uniquely and exceptionally empowered emissary of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to fulfill the order and desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the order and desire of his own spiritual master and of all the acharyas in the Gaudiya succession. Srila Prabhupada journeyed to the Western world to introduce Krishna consciousness there and subsequently throughout the world. He did unprecedented and inimitable service. Nabhuto nabhavishyati. It was never done in the past and it cannot be done again in future, what Srila Prabhupada has done. Despite his, or notwithstanding his opening centers of Krishna consciousness and inducting thousands of people into Krishna consciousness, people with no cultural background or any knowledge of Krishna consciousness whatsoever, notwithstanding that, Srila Prabhupada always emphasized that what he considered his most important service to his spiritual master is writing and producing books on the science of Krishna, and writing and producing means they should also be widely distributed. Srila Prabhupada engaged his followers from almost the earliest days in the Western world in assisting him in his preaching of Krishna consciousness via the printed medium. Astonishingly, when his disciples were still very new and knew very little about Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada had them revive the Back to Godhead magazine that he had started some decades earlier in India and had them write the articles while he himself worked steadily wherever he went to write his books. And later on he started dictating, and the dictation was transcribed and then edited, and in this way Srila Prabhupada produced so many books. About how the dictation started, Garga Muni Prabhu, one of Srila Prabhupada's very earliest disciples, related that as he was one day walking in New York City, he saw for sale advertised in the window of a store a second-hand dictaphone, which is generally used by company executives to dictate letters for their secretaries to type. But Garga Muni had the idea, well, Srila Prabhupada could use that for composing his books. That would make things quicker. So he got the money together. It was not for no reason that Srila Prabhupada nicknamed him Garga Muni. And because it was $200-$300, which was, well, it's not pocket change even now, and it was quite a lot of money in those days, and especially for Srila Prabhupada's followers who were poor. So he got the money together and had the man in the shop gave him a half an hour or more tutorial on how to work it and brought it back to Srila Prabhupada and told him, they say, this is how you use it, and I'll show you how to use it. Prabhupada took it and started using it immediately. How could he have known? Never even heard of it. You would expect that he'd never even heard of a dictaphone. Probably most people in America had never even heard of a dictaphone. It was not a very commonly used device. Srila Prabhupada said that, I'm not writing these books. Krishna writes them. Krishna dictates to me. This is Krishna's message to the world. The principal books that Srila Prabhupada produced were Gita, Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, and the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which he first published in abbreviated form with emphasis on the teachings, as the title suggests, rather than the pastimes, as teachings of Lord Chaitanya. These are Krishna's teachings. This is Krishna's message for the world, which Srila Prabhupada gave in English language, which is not at all an easy thing to do. Maybe you've read some translations by others prior to Srila Prabhupada's coming to the West, translations and commentaries of the Vaishnava classics or the Vedic classics. For instance, there is Bon Maharaj's edition of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He didn't do it all. The language is difficult to understand. Inherently, the concepts are difficult to understand, even for many people in India. And what to speak for people not raised in that culture. And to present them in English is so difficult because the cultural and philosophical concepts are so far removed. Many of them are so far removed from anything in Western intellectualism, philosophy, or theology. It's very sophisticated theology. For instance, to even tackle the issue, or even identify the issue of God being impersonal or personal. Scholars of religion in the Western world have noted that the religion of the masses is one of supplication to a personal God, but the religion of the high level mystics is one of union with God, seeing God in everything, God everywhere, tending toward what we would call impersonalism. We learn this word from Srila Prabhupada. Of course, it's there in English anyway, but in the context of theological understanding, the term impersonalism. So that there is impersonalism and personalism is not very, it's understood by some scholars of Western, or Western scholars of religion before Srila Prabhupada came to the West, but not very clearly delineated. But Srila Prabhupada, he not only delineated it, but he explained it and explained how both concepts are valid, but that the personal approach to God is supreme, not the impersonal. Of course, this was a long-standing controversial issue within Indian spiritual life. And Srila Prabhupada knew the necessity to Hare Krishna. He understood the necessity to address that in the Western world. He could have made a simplified kind of Vaishnavism, such as we see at the present time in some aberrant groups promoting bhakti in the Western world. There's one group based in Germany, I can't remember what it's called, some self-appointed guru, although he claims allegiance with the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, who they just, it's all love and bliss. He doesn't teach them. It's just all love and bliss. So it's an easy approach to Krishna bhakti without philosophy. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to give the philosophy because he detected, among other things, nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshe, that in the Western world it's rife with impersonalism and voidism. That in itself could be a whole study or meditation, how the Western world is full of impersonalism and voidism. But Srila Prabhupada certainly detected that in his followers. It wasn't hard to detect because most of them were hippies who were full up of assorted impersonalistic ideas from impersonalistic commentaries on the Gita, such as those of Radha, Dr. Radha Krishnan and Christopher Isherwood, and they're reading things like the Tibetan Book of the Dead and studying Tao or Dao and Zen Buddhism. And then there were Western proponents of this mishmash, which Dharma Bums was a famous book, for instance. And so it was impersonalism and voidism with mixed, all kinds of mixture in the hippie, confused medley of supposed transcendentalism, in which the main vehicle for spiritual insight was LSD. So they thought. So Srila Prabhupada, he presented the philosophy of the Absolute Truth in his books. And it's not easy reading. It's not like reading fairy stories, nor even intellectual. There are so many intellectual novels. But the concepts that Srila Prabhupada introduced are not easy to understand. Actually, Srila Prabhupada often said it is easy to understand, and he made it easy to understand. For instance, the point, Dehino smnyatade he komarang yovanangjara tatade hantara pratihi dhiras tatra namuhyati, that we enter a body, the body goes from boyhood to youth to old age to death. The constant factor must be understood to be the soul. Therefore, a sober person is not bewildered upon seeing all these changes, even the change known as death. So Srila Prabhupada presented it in a manner that made it very simple to understand. And for him, obviously, it was simple to understand. Just like we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Bhattacharya explained for 7 days the aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutras. And at the end he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, well, did you understand? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yeah, I can understand very well the Vedanta Sutras without you saying, whatever you say just covers the real meaning. So for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said the meaning of Vedanta Sutra is clear and obvious to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not to others. It's written in aphorism. Yes, sutra means aphorism. And Krishna or Vishnu is not delineated by name. Brahma is the subject of the Brahma Sutras, obviously. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada found it very easy to understand all of this, but for us conditioned souls it's not easy to understand, but he made it easy to understand through his books without compromising the teachings whatsoever. Others may make it easy to take to without, by not giving any teachings, and because just chant Hare Krishna, that's it more or less. Chant Hare Krishna and do whatever you like. Well, there are already plenty of Sahajya groups in India who do that. Without proper understanding, it descends into sentimentalism on the mundane platform. And then we won't distinguish between the deep feelings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the feelings expressed by mundane poets. And then we try to drag Krishna and his pastimes down to the mundane level. So Srila Prabhupada's books are not easy to understand for most people, it seems. That is one objection to the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. Those who say book distribution has failed, we distributed millions of books, and what happened? We didn't see people coming in their millions to join. We didn't see a revolution in the world. Let's try something else. Let's do something else. For instance, not only the books, but the whole presentation, wearing clothes which are ethnically identifiable with India and not with the West. Let's wear Western clothing and all these rules we don't need, and just chant Hare Krishna, and that's all. And try to interest people in things that they're interested in, that we can identify as being something to do with India, such as yoga or meditation or mindfulness, which is not a word that we find in Vaishnav culture. It's found in some schools of Buddhism. It's not a universal principle in Buddhism. Let's try to interest people in that, and then we can gradually tell them to surrender to Krishna. Of course, Srila Prabhupada's books tell us to surrender to Krishna on every page, practically. So has book distribution failed? Objectively, it might seem like that, frankly speaking. But let us consider. Well, it would be too crass to say that it's completely failed. At least, see, many people have become vegetarian, and many people believe in reincarnation, which they didn't before. So something is going on with the books, so we can admit that. But another problem with this perceived with book distribution, devotees are too aggressive, people don't like to be accosted in the streets, in the airports, it's better just to be nice. Yeah, there are so many nice people in the world, no one takes any notice of them. If you want to promote an idea, you have to promote it, means get into people's mental space. You just can't expect that you're sitting there so nice, you're so nice that they become attracted to you. It doesn't generally work like that. Maybe on the mundane platform, if a woman is very pretty, then she doesn't have to do anything to attract the attention of men. But to spread any doctrine requires vigorous propagation. That's true both of religious propaganda and political propaganda and save the whale propaganda. You don't hear much about save the whale these days. Climate change propaganda and conspiracy theory propaganda. anti-Jewish propaganda, pro-Jewish propaganda. It requires some oomph, some getting into people's mental space so that they see you and you take their attention. Objectively speaking, yeah, devotees do disturb people sometimes. That's true. It's inevitable. If you're going to try to get people to take Srila Prabhupada's books, it should be done in a manner as far as possible that it's not calculated to disturb people, but sometimes it will. Sometimes people get fed up. Even in Norway, right, where people are very nice. They're very nice people. But they get a little fed up when they're approached for the 27th time to buy a book, which they already bought on the third or fourth time, thinking that maybe they'll leave me alone if I buy the book. Right, if you're in a small city. What's the population of Bergen?
250,000.
That's a huge city by Croatian standards or by Norwegian standards. In India, it's just some middling town, fairly small town. 250,000, and you've been distributing books for about 12 years or something. How many years? Mahabhavi's been going out, what's his name? Vijay? Vigadashva. Only 3 years. They meet the same people again and again.
Schedule of people.
Oh, yeah. Just like one man on Charing Cross Road in London. He met our devotee. This is in the 1970s, selling records. We're trying to sell records to pay off. Anyway, it's a big story. And the devotee gave him a record and started to tell him the line, and the man said it back to him. Hello, we're monks, we just came back from India, blah, 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 blah. He knew it so. So it may be that people do get disturbed, but on the other hand, see what they're getting. Just look inside these books, see what they're getting. What is the benefit? So many people are disturbing them in so many ways. It's just part of life in the world that everyone is disturbing everyone else. Especially if you're on the streets of a city, then the people are trying to sell so many things. And if you're in a small town, really small town, like in the villages, there may be 500 people in the village or 2,000 people or something. They're not used to people coming, so they don't feel disturbed because they're usually quite open, aren't they? And you've got in the small villages, people are more open. It's a novelty for them to see someone new. It's actually very good village-to-village book distribution. I don't know how probably the villages in Norway are far apart, but we used to do that sometimes in Ireland. We used to go to 5 villages in one day, hit-and-run kind of thing. Because you just drive 5 miles and there's another village, up one side of the street, down the other, onto the next one. And if there's anyone there and they happen to have money, because at that time in Ireland, a lot of people literally didn't have any money, they'd almost always buy a book. So some disturbance is there, and then people find it difficult to read. I must admit, I did read Krishna Book Volume 2, which is the first book of Srila Prabhupada that I read before Srila Prabhupada dragged me into his movement. That was the first part of it. And I did read it all because I understood it was something profound, but I didn't understand much of it, the philosophy. But I understood enough to understand that it's worth finding out more about. So not everyone will understand, But there are those who will understand, and there are those who are eager to understand. A lot of our book distribution in America nowadays is done by putting book tables in university campuses and sitting there and waiting for people to come. And still you have to preach to them, but they're coming because they're interested, right? If they're not interested, they wouldn't come. And they look at the books and then they buy them, which shows that people are interested and they do think they can understand them. And if they buy them, having come themselves to the book table, it suggests that they want to read them, and they do read them, and they get benefited. And we can also go out in the streets and in the airports and distribute books. And because not everyone wanders around university campuses, not everyone will come to our book table, we have to go out to them. So there is interest in these books. One major thing I've observed in India since I first went there in 1976, a major difference. Actually, there are so many differences. The ascension of Hinduism or Hindutva or pride in the culture there. But that's one major cultural change from the 1970s. But one other thing is trying to preach Krishna consciousness in the 1970s, as soon as you try to talk about personalism, in many cases you get blasted with a barrage of no, all is one, God is not a person. But that doesn't happen. It's still there, but it's not so common. It's not all-pervading as it was previously. I ascribe that to the massive distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books, which has been going on for decades, and it still continues. Still, India is by far the top spot for distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And actually, you see the scores. They're way ahead of any other countries, but not everyone reports their scores. Most temples don't even report their scores. And there are many individuals also who distribute books. They take books directly from the BBT and distribute, and temples and small namhattas. And of course, the major, like ISKCON Mayapur, ISKCON Juhu, two temples in Delhi are major book distribution, and there are others they report, but there are many who don't. So that's one major change which is visible, palpable in India. And Srila Prabhupada said that these books will create a revolution. We have to have faith in that. Even if we think that, well, book distribution doesn't seem to work, even if we judge that way, which to me seems like heresy or atheism, if we didn't see it happen right in front of our eyes in 2 minutes or in 20 years or 30 years, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. But we should consider that Srila Prabhupada put so much emphasis on this. Definitely more than any other program, he emphasized, and so many programs he put a lot of emphasis on, but he emphasized so much the distribution of his books. And more than anything else, he was pleased with the distribution of his books. So just on the principle, yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadaha, by satisfaction of the spiritual master, Krishna is satisfied. If we can't think of any other reason, if we're so dull that we can't see that people are benefited by these books, or if we don't think that they can be benefited by these books, we should consider that Srila Prabhupada wants this and he'll be pleased with it. And our business in life is to please Srila Prabhupada, and that's what we're supposed to be doing in this Krishna consciousness movement. We're not supposed to be becoming musicians or yoga teachers. If as a musician or a yoga teacher, you can please Srila Prabhupada, all well and good, but that's the bottom line, to use that cliche, is to please Srila Prabhupada. So he's pleased by this, and he is empowered by Lord Chaitanya, he's sent by Lord Chaitanya, he's given intelligence by Lord Chaitanya what needs to be done, and he says to distribute these books. We should have faith in that. Some devotees become very interested in higher level esoteric topics, and they are very interested, what's going to happen when I die? Am I going to become a gopi or not? Well, it's very good you're thinking like that, because most people don't think like that. But we can also remember the line that we sing every day in relation to Srila Prabhupada, Jai Prashade Pure Sarva Asha, all our desires, that particularly means our spiritual aspirations, are fulfilled by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we will not be the losers by any means if we dedicate our lives to distributing Srila Prabhupada or assisting in his mission in whatever way we can to spread Krishna consciousness. Just like we have, there are devotees who have dedicated their lives to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, and they do it every day. They've been doing it every day for decades. In Los Angeles, Bhrigupati Prabhu is known for that. You might think someone who distributes so many books in America must be a very aggressive kind of personality, but he's as sweet and gentlemanly as anyone can be. Of course, when he's out there, he has to be outgoing, but what do you think? What's going to happen to him when he leaves his body? What do you think?
Back home
to Godhead. He's definitely going to, he's already getting the full mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He's not going to be the loser by that. On the other hand, if we propagate that book distribution has failed, then what's the next line? Yes, Ya Prasada Nagati Katopi. Srila Prabhupada won't be pleased by such propagation. And if we displease him, we can chant 64 rounds every day and imagine we're a gopi or whatever, but Krishna won't be pleased. So even if we don't understand, we should distribute books. Srila Prabhupada always taught us that we should not follow blindly. We should try to understand the instructions of the spiritual master. But in the matter of book production and distribution, Srila Prabhupada said, I follow my Guru Maharaj blindly. Because he said, his personal interaction with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, if you ever get money, print books. So he took that very seriously. And he was empowered to do so. So we should also take that very seriously. We may understand or not understand. Understand or not understand, we can experience, we actually experience the mercy of Srila Prabhupada when we distribute his books. Is it not a fact? Those of you who distribute his books. Is it? Yeah, it's palpable. It happens. It's real. You feel the connection with, you feel Prabhupada pouring his mercy on you. And the kirtans in the temples where books are distributed, the emphasis is not so much on music, and it's just happens, and devotees are naturally blissful because the mercy is flowing. They're in the mercy stream. They don't have to speculate or cogitate on the philosophy, because they have the faith that everything, whatever I need to know, Srila Prabhupada will reveal. by reading these books. It all comes down to faith. So we should have faith. Faith that we must distribute these books. And we see also, you may say book distribution is a failure, but people come to Krishna consciousness by reading these books. And people who come to Krishna consciousness by reading these books, they are usually very firm in Krishna consciousness because they came with their intelligence, not simply on sentiment. We can bring people by introducing them gradually through vegetarian cooking classes. It's a good I'm not saying it's a bad, it's a good program. You have vegetarian cooking classes and introduce people to the concept of taking prasadam, offer it to Krishna, give them your association, and tell them that these preparations are very dear to Krishna. You can bring them in like that. But people who come from book distribution in the beginning are going to be on the platform of wanting to understand who is God, not on the platform of how I can eat nice food, which is, it's also why, again, I'm not decrying that. Any way we bring people to Krishna consciousness is good. But if we bring people in with their intelligence, that's going to be strong, because Srila Prabhupada said, intelligence is next to the soul. We have that, right? Intelligence is next to the soul. That's right there in Bhagavad Gita. In the Indriyani Paranyahur Indriyebhya Parang Manaha Manasas Tu Parabuddhe Yo Buddhes Paratas Tu Saha. That there is dull matter, then there are the senses, then there is the mind, then the intelligence, the dull, superior to dull matter are the senses, superior to the senses is the mind, superior to the mind is the intelligence, and superior to the intelligence is the soul. So these books, they appeal to the intelligence, but they're not simply intellectual. They are Krishna in literary form. And Krishna speaks to the heart of sincere persons who take these books. So we need other programs also. We need public Harinam, public festivals, prasadam distribution, all kinds of programs Srila Prabhupada set up to help awaken people's spiritual interest and spiritual consciousness and purify them and help them to come to Krishna consciousness. But there is no doubt that book distribution is central in all these programs. We shouldn't discontinue other programs, but we must emphasize the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. And from that, everything else will come. Everything else will follow. We've all seen the clip of Srila Prabhupada speaking in Los Angeles, where he says that if these books are translated in as many languages as possible and distributed throughout the world, the Krishna conscious movement will automatically increase. And then Srila Prabhupada said, so kindly help me. In which they were in Los Angeles in particular, because that was and is the home of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust in the Western world, and that's where the books were being produced, the books of Srila Prabhupada, and it was and still is a major center for distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So many devotees who were already engaged in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books vowed on the spot to dedicate their lives in the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. And some of those devotees are still doing it. I'm not sure if they were present. Suradas was a great distributor from the 1970s, and he was involved with book distribution and production of Prabhupada's books in the BBT until he passed away last year, I believe it was. He passed away. And so many others. Srivas Prabhu is the temple president, and he's been pushing on book distribution there for decades and decades. So there's no doubt that these devotees are getting Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And we as a movement will get Srila Prabhupada's mercy if we go on distributing these books. And all other things have to be done also. But if we leave out the book distribution, it becomes hollow. Books are the basis. It's not ourselves and our own charisma that's going to change the world. It's Krishna who manifests in the form of his holy name, in the form of these books which Srila Prabhupada has delivered, and we should distribute them. And if we say book distribution has failed, it's practically heretical. It's wrong. It's not pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. It's a very dangerous idea to introduce, because without that, this movement, it just loses all the mercy and the strength, and the people of the world lose the opportunity to learn about Krishna in the best possible way, which Srila Prabhupada has made available. Hare Krishna, any questions about this, please, or comments? Yes, please.
You said that through book distribution, people will come with a will to understand God. What if we distribute books by telling people books about something else? Maybe it's a good book about, try to find their interest and say...
Different books, apart from Prabhupada's book, should they be distributed? Can they awake people's interest to understand God? Is that the question? No.
You distribute Prabhupada's books, but tell people that they're not about God, they're about something else.
They're about yogurt.
Yeah, something like that.
That happened. There's one anecdote. Someone was distributing books, and someone bought a book, and they came back angrily later and said, "You told me this book was about yogurt." He said yoga, but they misunderstood as yogurt. So if we tell them something else, well, we can tell them about these secondary major benefits that they can attain by reading these books, that we will get peace of mind, we'll understand our direction in life. We can say things like that. These are profound statements. They're not misleading. I was told a few years ago, just before I was about to address a group of youth in San Diego, don't mention the word God, because young people in America are allergic to the word God. Maybe not in Atlanta, more so in San Diego, maybe. Anyway, that's what I was told. Because the concept of God is the nasty guy sitting on a throne in the clouds, chucking people into hell, doesn't go down well with young people. So I was told. So you may not want to emphasize that. You may emphasize other aspects. Yeah, anything else? Give the mic. Or just ask and I'll repeat it.
Perhaps allow smaller temples or temples with less money maybe discouraged because of being able to, unable to pay back certain debts.
Small temples with less money are discouraged because they're unable to repay debts.
Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, right? He said that he wanted his disciples to always...
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur kept his disciples in debt. Seems like you're thinking of a specific situation.
Well, not necessarily. But it just seems like maybe a point...
Well, Srila Prabhupada also said that if we distribute books, that will cover all our monetary needs. Although, when I joined in London, I was first thing I did for about 2 weeks before all the brahmacharis rebelled, they'd been doing it for about 2 years, was selling records to try to pay off the mortgage, huge mortgage that was taken out by the previous GBC on Bhaktivedanta Manor. So sometimes such... That's another whole discussion. Often devotees get into selling other things, but then they don't get the mercy and they just get into the salesman bhav, the feeling of a salesman, and the devotees themselves often become materialistic. And without getting that mercy by selling paintings or candles or mousses, mousses, rub it up and down your back and it makes your back feel good. It looks like a moose and it has wheels. You know what a moose is, right, Maharaj? They have them in Sweden, elks they have in Sweden. And in Canada they're called moose. So it's selling these things and you don't get the mercy and you think, I'm making money and I don't like my temple president, so why don't I just make money for myself? I can do it myself and make money for myself. And then we lose all the devotees and lose all the money too. So better to concentrate on books. There may be extenuating circumstances under which we may have to do other things for raising funds. But as a general principle, we should put book distribution in the center. Mm.
One group like strictly doesn't mention God, another group mentions God, yeah?
Two types of book distributors. One type
of book distributors
doesn't as a principle God. They don't mention God, don't and then the other God. Type does.
Yes, so I've heard explanation in London, which is very demoniac, is through that many people kind of get disturbed when God is mentioned, but still we mention God, yeah? But then there are a group of people...
Whether or not you distribute the book is the test.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, explanation...
You don't have to mention God when you're selling the book.
Yeah, we don't have to
mention God. No, yeah. You don't have to.
We don't have to.
Let Prabhupada do the preaching in his book. Especially in London, which England, it's agnostic at best. Yeah. Is the overall mood there? Agnostic, atheistic.
Sometimes people that are given books, like on decided by with explanation. Okay, explaining that those books are about yoga, meditation. Many times happens that they, next time we meet them, they say, oh, you gave me this book, but this is not actually about yoga, because when people understand yoga to be just exercise, like asanas, yeah, that's what modern yoga is. So then they somehow feel cheated.
You can tell them it is about yoga. You didn't read it carefully enough. Yeah. Go back and read it again, and you'll understand it's about yoga.
Yeah.
Then you'll understand it's about yoga.
Yeah, exactly, bhakti yoga. So then explanation that devotees give many times is that words like God, religion, it triggers negative emotions in people because kind of many times people say, oh, yoga is this, religion is the source of all trouble in the world because they kind of explain, okay, Muslims and Christians are fighting. So what would you say about that?
I would not get into a big discussion with them. I would try to assuage them and move on to the next person.
Yeah, okay.
Give them another book. Tell them, I understand what you're telling me, but actually you need to read this book to understand it all. So take this one.
Hare Krishna.
Give them another book. If you're really expert, you can distribute books to anyone.
Yeah.
Just like there's one case of Mahotsaha Prabhu saying, I don't want these books, I'm an atheist. So he said, well, why don't you just give me a donation? I said, okay. We like big donations. So he gave a good donation, then he gave him a set of books. Because he covered them. So what are we going to do with these books? I'm an atheist. He said, well, give them to your enemies.
Yeah.
He went off with a set of books.
Once Vijay Prabhu in London, he met a guy who said, I'm a Satanist, and so I hate God. And then Vijay Prabhu told him, okay, know your enemy. And then the guy took Bhagavad Gita, he said, yeah, know your enemy. He said, okay, you're right, actually. And he gave him, actually, I think, 20 bucks, 20 pounds.
Yeah, you're expert. One thing we find in Europe, I don't know so much in America, but often butchers are very good. They take books.
Yeah, they take.
They very often they take books and give good donations. You go in the butcher shop.
Yeah, they do. Very common. We do in London, like in Brixton, on Brixton Market, we would do it.
Good donations.
Yeah.
Who can understand? Saving them.
Yeah.
What a mercy to give books to a butcher. Hare Krishna.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
I didn't look on this side. Any questions from the ladies?
Thank you. Guru Maharaj, in our region now, they decided to cultivate contacts from Sankirtan, and I'm a little worried about this topic, so I would like your opinion.
Why are you worried?
I'm worried because I'm thinking what they would like to do is start like a power series workshop where they would try to talk about the power of habits, power of association. So it's very, very indirect preaching where Krishna. Yeah, they give the books.
Which directly talk about Krishna.
Exactly, get the context.
And they bring them in and talk about the power of habits.
And Krishna is not allowed to be mentioned, and Arjuna, and nothing is allowed to be mentioned in this. So what to do? And they ask me for contacts, and I don't want to give any
start
contacts.
Start your own club. You could try that. Some years ago, one of my godbrothers wrote a little book talking about how they're making devotees in one center in the southeast United States with what would have been called in the 1970s and 1980s a highly watered down approach. And he wrote in there, I'm not interested in arguing the point, but if anyone thinks they can do better, do it. Maybe we should bring him to Atlanta. Direct preaching can and does work, can be done. There seems to be a cloud over our movement that you can't preach, you can't tell people the message of Bhagavad Gita because they're not ready for it. Sometimes I think our devotees are not ready for it. Where would the worldwide movement of Krishna consciousness be if Srila Prabhupada had come to New York and taught the power of habits? Hare Krishna. Oh, one more question. Or comment.
It's in line with what was said. I was just thinking during the class, is it reasonable, as you mentioned, that our devotees, we as ourselves, don't have faith in that instruction of Srila Prabhupada? That's the reason why we changed that idea of book distribution, because people are fruitive by nature, and then sometimes you don't get results, and then you think, let's do something different. And I mean, there are genuine devotees who maybe really like, apparently, they want to do the best to spread Krishna consciousness, and they use internet and all these things. And maybe, I was just thinking, is it kind they are a little bit, don't feel good when they still devoted doing this book distribution and get results, because it's opposite with this, what their mind or whoever or whatever told to them.
I'm reminded of the narration in the Bhagavatam where Narada tells Vyasadeva, You've told the people so many nice things about meditation and fruitive activities and peace of mind. I'm paraphrasing here. But you didn't tell them the thing that they really need to hear, which is about Krishna. Isn't it? It's a similar situation, isn't it? And therefore Vyas felt despondent. At the end we may feel despondent that we might bring people into mindfulness and meditation and all these kinds of things, but at the end we'll feel despondent. Why are people not feeling blissful? Because meditation and mindfulness don't make you blissful, and yoga and vegetarianism and veganism doesn't make you blissful. You have to give them the real thing. And even if we do meditation and yoga and all this, these people are much better at it than us. They have years of practice and they really believe in it. And what were you telling me the other day, he left, blew out the door, as usual. He's saying he went to one of these things that our devotees were doing, and the devotee, with all these new people, he said to them, close your eyes, breathe in, breathe out. And Vayu said, what is this? I'm an accredited yoga teacher. This is not yoga breathing. Anyone who's been to any preliminary training in pranayama can understand that the devotee who's supposed to be teaching breathing techniques doesn't know what he's talking about. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srila Prabhupada's book distribution. Hare Krishna.